And we are live downtown Nashville. It is the start of another season. Welcome into the 2021 season. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared Stillman alongside former Titan receiver Chris Sanders, who is now starting his fourth season with us on the pregame show.
What's up, baby?
And I will say this about Chris Sanders. I rewatched an old Titans highlight film. And I saw a couple of catch, a couple of games they won because of Chris Sanders.
Okay.
Hey, you know what he owns? With that. He owned Jason Sehorn.
Oh, ate his lunch.
Jason Sehorn, who was the best at what he did.
Ate his lunch.
For a while, for a few years. Before
hungry.
He tore his knees up. And Chris, absolutely, you're right, he did.
Man, where's the love? That's the love I love this
See,
morning.
See, we started off,
man,
it's
it,
a new
man.
Season.
Absolutely, because I thought Mark was going to yell at me when he first got on the air. But we're doing good so far.
And we have the man in the middle, Mark Howard. And I said to myself, I was sitting there like, you know what? I have listened to Mark Howard in pregame shows for years and years and years, and we are lucky to have him
absolutely.
Be a part of us and the pregame show this season here at Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. Again, stop on by on your way over to Nissan Stadium. But I want to start with this.
Uh-oh.
It would, as we get set for the Titans and Cardinals, it will be 2 hours of breaking down the game. I think that, you know, Chris, we talked about this yesterday off the air. You know, one of the best parts of the week, every week for the last 7 years for me, the last 4 years with you, was showing up to do this pregame show with the GM, Floyd Reese. And we all know how much we miss him.
Yes,
we talk about it on a consistent basis. But the pregame show, I used to sit up here and do the pregame shows, whether it was me, you, and him, or me, him, and D. Mace.
Right.
And as a kid who grew up rooting for the Titans, I was in the fourth grade when you guys went to the Super Bowl. I used to sit up here on these Sundays, and I used to think, I'm sorry to make you feel old.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I used to sit up here and think about how lucky I felt Man. Like I was to be doing the pregame show with Chris Sanders and Floyd Reese, or Derek Mason and Floyd Reese. And I think he lived for these. I think he lived for sitting here talking to the fans on game day. We'd have so many people that would come up to us, no matter where we were, and they'd want to take pictures with Floyd or ask questions, you know, about the game with Floyd. And he was so into it every time. And I knew yesterday when Ohio State lost.
The Ohio State, sir.
I think Oregon took the D.
And absolutely.
I thought about what I was going to miss was that feeling of when we all show up here around 9 o'clock or 8:45 or whatever, and just the way he'd have busted my rear end for how Louisville played on Monday, bust your rear end for how Ohio State played, because that was one of that we used to just talk about the
absolutely.
College games before we get on the air. And so, you know, this is a show that he built. You know, I mean, the pregame show, he was on it longer than I was. He was on it longer than you were. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to start the show, you know, just talking about how this was his pregame show. And as we continue on, wanted to just acknowledge that for the fans.
I miss his smile, and I miss when you made him mad and he'll just go, oh, okay. I miss that. And, you know, I'm not trying to be sentimental or anything, but I want to speak from my heart just for a quick second. You know, a lot of times we grow up and we idolize people, and, you know, everybody want to be like Mike and because they love what he did. But I want to take this show and I want to be like Floyd. And the reason why I want to be like Floyd, by the way he cared about people, by the way he touched people, the why he made so many people better. And I know sometimes we say that when a person's gone, but I just wish I could have told him that more when he was here. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of times we focus on and we take advantage because the person is right beside us, or we touch him, or we can see him. But sometimes we got to stop and tell the ones we love before they go. And I just wish I could have took the time out to tell him how much I appreciate him, because he's done so many things. He didn't just do a lot of things for me or for the Tennessee Titans. He did stuff for my son. He helped my son where, you know, he couldn't get a situation, you know, when the COVID stuff came, he couldn't get, you know, work out. So he figured out a way to try to get CJ in the NFL. So for him to take the time out to do that and to care about me, I mean, I absolutely love the guy. I mean, even away from that, when he took $600,000 from me. But here's the cool part about the whole thing.
I used to always think about that, Mark, is they'd be buddy-buddy, and they'd team up on me.
Negotiation table.
And, I'm absolutely. Like, this guy fired this guy and took $600,000 from him.
But here's the cool part about it is, and we always know this, Floyd Reese never brought past players back. And for him to bring me back, knowing I was hurt, knowing I couldn't run, knowing I wasn't the receiver that I was back then, he brought me back and he let me retire as a Tennessee Titan. That is one of the greatest men that I've ever known, and I'm so honored to know him, Sally, and his whole family. My heart loves him. I'm going to continue to love him. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep his legacy going, and we're going to make him so stinking proud on this show.
You and Perry Phoenix he brought back.
He sure did, and me and him got in a fight, too.
I mean, I will say this.
You're not the only one.
It's when you said that you were going to carry on his legacy, I thought that meant that you were going to be busting on me.
Oh, that's a given.
I mean, that's a given.
Are you kidding me?
But, again, I mean, I just, you know, this was a this pregame show. Again, doing the pregame show and doing it with him. And it, I mean, like, I felt like we got to kind of sit there and do it with him, you know. Like, we were just kind of there, and it was really, like, his pregame show that he'd talk about. But as we go forward, I know that it meant a lot to me over the last couple of weeks. How many people have reached out? How many people have said, you know, that they were thinking about me or thinking about us or thinking about the station or thinking about – and I know this. There's nothing more that Floyd – if Floyd is looking down right now, he would be very, very upset that we are not analyzing the Arizona Cardinals and we're spending time talking about him. But that's how much he meant to this show.
Man. We love him.
And that's how much he meant to our radio station. How about today's game? Opening day, Chris Sanders. Kyler Murray, Arizona. Yeah. I was talking to Mike Vrabel the other day, and he said that week one is always one of these, like, anxious, just nervous, just because you just don't know. I feel good about the Titans right now.
I do, too.
I feel good about them. I think they got a good team. I think this team has potential to go far this season. They've been to the playoffs 2 years in a row. They got a quarterback. They got this offense, and yet – I'm just nervous because it's week one.
I just think that we're going to start to see a lot of question marks being answered. You know, we talk about Farley. We talk about Dupree. We talk about the defense. We look at last year. What was the Achilles heel of the Tennessee Titans? It was the defense. The defense was terrible on third down. They wasn't making plays. They were the worst defense in the NFL. So now we're going to get a chance to see, okay, is there improvement? They got Autry from the Indianapolis Colts. They got Dupree. They got all these guys we've been talking about all offseason. Is it going to come to fruition? Is Shane Bowen going to be that guy to be the voice of the defense to get these guys in position to make some plays?
Well, I think the other part of it is we're going to find out how much Mike Vrabel's load management plan for training camp is going to work out.
That's a good point.
You know, he didn't want – you know, you look at the Ravens. The Ravens have lost three starters in a week. Now, that might – just be, you know, an outlier. But I know that Vrabel, for the most part, wanted to make sure his guys got through camp healthy. But we didn't see a lot of Julio Jones. That worries me. It does. In terms of chemistry and everything else, this offense has not played together a whole lot in the preseason. Never in a real game. So that worries me. Maybe in a practice against Tampa Bay, but beyond that, that's kind of a mystery. And everybody's feeling, I think, a little bit too good about the defense. They're going to –
absolutely.
I think they're going to get a little bit of an awakening today. Arizona has a really good core of receivers.
They do.
Even though Larry Fitzgerald has apparently retired and he can start working on his Hall of Fame speech, A.J. Green, I think, still has some tread left on the tires. Mm-hmm. You know, they got Christian Kirk, and they got, obviously DeAndre Hopkins, Titan killer. The Titans can't afford to double on DeAndre Hopkins.
And Rondale Moore.
I was going to bring in Rondale Moore. The wide receiver, a lot of people really hoped the Titans were going to draft out of Purdue. So this is a pretty good core. We remember Christian Kirk, of course, from Texas A&M. Sort of a little guy. But a guy who can run those shorter intermediate routes and get a lot of yards after the catch. So, I want to see how good the revamped Titans secondary is in coverage and how much pressure they can put on Kyler Murray. It's funny that we're at rock bottom because I remember the draft. And I remember with my longtime radio partner, Kevin Ingram, we came into this area at the same time as Kyler Murray, who's wearing a suit that I could probably buy a car with.
I was going to say, you guys walked in there. You guys had more money than Kyler Murray, and he walked out with a lot more money. You know that?
Yeah, I would say.
I look at this right here. Seven teams last year of the 14 in the NFL that went to the playoffs, seven were new and weren't there in 2019. The Titans, I feel pretty good about this year. I mean, I do. There are issues, I would agree, and there are things that concern me. But I would say every year there's that parity in the league. There's that turnover in the league. And there's a part of me that's nervous that the Titans could be one of those turnover parity teams, because the stats will tell you that you just, it's hard to make the playoffs 3 years in a row.
Well, I believe that the Titans, at least in the AFC South, their ultimate trump card is Ryan Tannehill.
Absolutely.
I think the Colts, top to bottom, have a better roster than the Titans, but they are surely not as good a quarterback. And we all know the NFL is a quarterback league. So, again, you know, Ryan Tannehill, who continues to garner disrespect from many corners of the NFL media, will be the guy under the microscope this year. As he maybe he can prove himself this year.
I just think that the Tennessee Titans have to stay healthy. Me and you talked about this off air a couple of days ago with A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's knee keeps flaring up. I mean, I know, you know, they're just trying to keep him from maintenance, the maintenance practice, whatever they talk about. I never heard about that when I was playing. I wish we'd have had it. I would have used it. But I'm concerned about that. If he keeps having knee injuries or knee situations that's going on actually now, how can he stay healthy the whole season? So those are the questions that still need to be answered. So I'm excited about what's going on. I'm excited about the defense. I'm excited about different areas of the offense. I think the Tennessee Titans are going to have a big day.
Yeah, and there are some little hurts on the roster, on the depth chart. And, oh, by the way, we got a kicker we've never seen before. By the way, how long will the Sam Ficken tribute be, video tribute be on the scoreboard today?
It's not as long as the Mark Howard tribute video should be. We are here at Rock Bottom again, where once again the Titans get set to take on the Arizona Cardinals. And I was just, as we were talking, somebody texted me about the pregame show. And I'm going to tell this one Floyd Reese story just because I can. I could have gotten fired for this, honestly. This was January 1st, 2017. The Titans were playing the Texans in a meaningless game. My friend's sister got married the night before. I maybe stayed out a little too late. I think I was like 26 at the time. I stayed out maybe a little too late, maybe indulged a little too much. And the next day, I was doing the pregame show, and I could hear in these headsets, I could hear him and D-Mace talking, and I thought I was going to throw up the entire time. And I just literally was just like, hey, what do you guys think about the defense? And then just let him talk. And I'll never forget standing out there, and he looked at me. We're waiting for our cars after the pregame show. He looked at me, and he said, he goes, you know, sometimes you need to go out and do that just so you can realize how bad it sucks so you don't do it again. And I just laughed and laughed and laughed, and I thought about that today as we get set to do the pregame show from here. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at four of the biggest stories of the game. We'll move the chains with our friends at TriStar Moving. We are live at Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. This will be our home throughout the course of the season for the pregame show for all of the home games out here at Rock Bottom Brewery. Again, the sponsors of the pregame show: TriStar Moving, Harman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel Sportsbook, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Mark Howard. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Rock Bottom Brewery. Again, stop on by on your way to Nissan Stadium. Short little walk across the bridge. I will be making that walk today as soon as we are out of here as the Titans get set to take on the Arizona Cardinals. It's time now to take a look at the four big stories of the game today, presented by our friends at TriStar Moving. We move the chains. First down, the Arizona Cardinals come to Nissan Stadium last year. No playoffs for Cliff Kingsbury in his second season. Kyler Murray enters year three. In is J.J. Watt. Out is Larry Fitzgerald. In is A.J. Green, as well as Rondale Moore. The Cardinals, a team that many are picking fourth in the NFC West, though a loaded NFC West. Mark Howard, we start with you. What do we think of this Arizona Cardinal team?
Well, they're dangerous. They're inconsistent, but they're dangerous, and it starts at quarterback. I think if you keep Kyler Murray in the pocket and force him to make throws from there, you minimize his effectiveness. But they've got a really good receiving core, as we mentioned. DeAndre Hopkins, I still think, is one of the best receivers in the league.
Absolutely.
You know, pound for pound, as they like to say. You know, makes those combat catches. You know, you can double him, you can triple him. I've just seen him do sick things against the Titans. Was so happy when he left the AFC South. and now a reunion against, you know, a secondary that remains a work in progress. Mm-hmm. We're not going to see Caleb Farley, you know, full time today. I think, you know, we might see him in spot duty. But the Titans secondary is kind of a mystery. But, yeah, I mean, the Cardinals are dangerous.
Yes, they are.
And we saw Murray last year rally them a couple of times in the second half. You know, when they go up tempo, when they go, you know, 2 minute, with that receiving core, they're a very dangerous team.
You know, one word that describes them is explosive. I mean, it starts with a quarterback with Kyle Murray, and then you have a slew of receivers. You have A.J. Green, Isabella, we didn't talk about him, Rondale Moore, Christian Kirk, guys that can make plays. But I think what the Tennessee Titans have to do, if you look at what the Tennessee Titans did against Lamar Jackson when they had the playoff games a couple of years ago, they contain Lamar Jackson, and that's exactly what you got to do with Kyle Murray. You can't let him get out the pocket. You can't let him scramble. If you scramble, the DBs have to stay home because he's always looking downfield. I mean, look at how many yards that he ran for last. He ran for 819. That's almost 1,000 yards for a quarterback. That just shows you that he consistently make plays. He's consistently protecting the football. But the thing that scares me, that if he gets loose and a DB comes off, he's going to chuck it downfield to one of those great wide receivers.
I think you're going to see Shane Bowen using a lot of zone defense today for the express reason, Chris, as you know. Yeah. You play man,
you're in trouble.
You have to turn your back on the quarterback.
Yep.
And you can't turn your back on Kyler Murray because then he will get loose. And he will hurt you.
You know, and also Shane Bowen and also Swartz and Mike Vrabel, they always talked about at the beginning of the season that they wanted to challenge the receivers. And what does that mean, to challenge the receiver? Look what they did against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think it was last year or the year before. They came up and they paid, just like you said, they came up and pressed the wide receivers to challenge them. So I'm concerned about that because you have so much speed, and I don't think our defensive backs can run with those type of receivers. That's just going to be a big problem for the Tennessee Titans.
Meanwhile, we hit second down.
Second down.
2,000 yards a year ago in 16 games for Derrick Henry. This year there are 17. Chris Johnson had 2,000 yards and followed up with 1,364 the next season. Derrick Henry motivationally may be a little different than Chris Johnson. Also, you know, in terms of off-season workouts might be a little different. Chris Sanders,
yes.
What do we think about Derrick Henry following up his 2,000-yard season and going into another big season where a lot's expected?
This is just my opinion. I think he's going to have a better year than last year. And the reason why I say it is because he's still hungry. And I know a lot of times, you know, we can't measure a man's heart because we want to see it. I see it on the video. I see him working out. I see him working on the little things. He's got with his running back coach. Okay, coach, what do I need to improve on? That's catching the ball. So he's doing the little things to get better, to be a complete back. But I think he's going to have a better year because he has the hunger to do it. He wants to be better. He's not satisfied for just going to the playoffs. He wants to put the team on his back and say, you know what, listen, I understand I had 2,000 yards last year. I understand I had two great years, but I'm still hungry to get to the Super Bowl. So that's why I think and I feel that he's going to have an outstanding year.
Jared, I'll tell you what, and Chris, Derrick Henry could have this organization by the short hairs if he really wanted.
Absolutely.
Derrick Henry could have demanded a renegotiation after his 2,000-yard season last year, and nobody would have blamed him. The thing about that impresses me and I guess pleases you is that Derrick Henry doesn't seem to have an ounce of diva in him. Mm-hmm. The guy is just an amazing worker. He's not going to rest on his laurels. You know, I remember Chris Johnson got paid, and it was downhill after that. He just wasn't the same back after he got paid. He just didn't seem to be as willing, you know, to hit the hole like he did before. I don't think that's going to be a problem with Derrick Henry. I think Derrick is going to, you know, maybe wear down like Eddie George did, and it's going to be, you know, something almost imperceptive, you know, where he loses a half a step or whatever. But right now, you know, this guy, you know, is just a warrior. And you see the way he works out. He's relentless. I'm sure he's excited to get out there and play. He's been watching practice. He's been watching preseason. I think if you're Arizona, probably priority one is trying to take Derrick Henry away from the Titans offense. And if Derrick Henry is effective, it achieves a lot of things. it keeps Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt off of Tannehill. Mm-hmm. That becomes really important. You don't want to get into third and long. You want to keep it third and short, and that's where the Titans, just like this segment, just keep moving the chains, and they'll take care of business.
And you know a man's heart because you listen what comes out of his mouth. Listen to his interviews. It's not talking about my accolades. It's not talking about me getting 2,000 yards.
Doesn't
it's not about,
speak from the I formation.
Absolutely. It's not an I. It's saying, that's pretty good.
I like it.
But he's always talking about we as a team. We as a team got to get better. We got to work on little things. It's not about I, and that's what makes him so special because I agree with you, Mark Howard. This guy can be a diva. He can be say it's all about me, but it's all about we, and that's what makes him so special.
I'm also going to say this. It's going to be about 88 when we get into the fourth quarter.
Ooh.
And I know that Arizona practices with the heat.
but it's a dry heat.
If Derrick Henry's getting the ball 30 times and the Titans have a lead in the fourth quarter, I can't imagine that defense is going to want any part of tackling Derrick Henry or being able to do so.
Welcome to the land of humidity, my friends.
And it's one other thing about Derrick Henry is that I think it sets the tone for everybody on this team, that Derek never complains about his carries. I don't think you'll see AJ complain about his targets. Julio, I don't think you'll see complain about his targets, though I have some reservations there. But I think that that's part of it, too, is kind of the selflessness and the whatever it takes to win that he and Tannehill project to have a huge impact on this team.
I mean, that's it. I mean, you said it right there. It's all about coming together as a team, and that's consistently what he talks about. He never talks about what he wants to do. It's about a team theme. I mean, I know that sounds cliche and all that, but it's about working together as a team.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Third down I saved for the defense because last year the third down defense was horrific. Out is everybody almost in the secondary except for Kevin Byard. In is Jackrabbit Jenkins, Christian Fulton with an expanded role. Elijah Molden will look to go in the slot. Bud Dupree steps in across Harold Landry. Out is Jadeveon Clowney as well as Daquan Jones. In DeNico Autry. Mark Howard, third down defense, how are we feeling right now?
I think they've upgraded. I think the DBs have to be tacklers too. That's going to be important. They got to get off the field. If the Cardinals get into a rhythm, they're in trouble. And, this again, I'll be interested. Jackrabbit Jenkins is a gambler by nature. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as much even as Malcolm Butler. But, it's going to be intriguing to me to see what he's going to do on his side of the field. And then you've got Molden, who's raw. And I don't know how Farley figures in. Beyond that, they've got to be better on third down.
I think it all depends on what Shane Bowen wants to do. I mean, if you look at last year when they played the Pittsburgh Steelers and they didn't really have faith in their cornerbacks, so they're playing 6 and 7 yards off. If I'm a wide receiver, I'm licking my chops on that. Yep. I mean, and it's 3rd and 5 and you're playing 6 and 7 yards off, all you got to do is throw a 5-yard hit, catch a spin, and then you convert third down. So just like what Mike Vrabel talked about, that's what Swartz talked about. That's what these guys are talking about, that we got to press the receivers. We got to put pressure on them and not let them have an easy catch, tackle them, get off third down. And if Shane Bowen and Swartz and Mike Vrabel can do that and get these guys to replicate what they want to do, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful by getting off on third down.
I want to see Dupree.
Me too, man.
I think with Dupree, it's like he was paid, and he said he put his hand up and said, hey, I'm the guy that's supposed to come in here. I'm the guy that's supposed to get after the quarterback. They pay them like a true pass rusher. They're going to need Bud Dupree to be a true pass rusher.
Yeah, but even also, even if he might not have the sacks, even if he creates some pressure,
sure,
then it's still the same as a sack.
And that takes us to our fourth and final down.
Fourth down.
Always save that for special teams. Chris Sanders, what do you know about Michael Bagley, a.k.a. the Money Badger?
Woo-wee.
The kicker for the Titans today will be Michael Bagley, acquired as a free agent on Friday to the practice squad from the Los Angeles Chargers, mm-hmm, where he spent the last 3 years in his career. He is an 80% field goal kicker. Not great on the long kicks, 3 of 9 in his career from plus 50. He's 19 of 26 from 40 to 49. But it hits everything within 30, 13 of 13 in his career from 30 to 39, and 17 of 17 from 20 to 29. What do we think of the kicking situation?
I'm concerned just a little bit because if you look at last year when the Tennessee Titans lost earlier, it was a missed field goal or a missed extra point. But here's the thing that I'm okay with. He's 30 for 30 inside the 40. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm good with that. But there's a difference when you get a little pressure on you. What if it's 2 seconds left on the clock and you have to make the kick? I don't know where he is. I don't know how he handles the pressure of doing that. So I'm concerned a little bit, but also I'm okay with it because he's 30 for 30 inside the 40. But if it comes down to clutch time, I don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, apparently Steven Gostkowski had a paintball appointment today, and he wasn't available. Listen, yeah, it's a crapshoot, and we knew this. And it sort of makes you nervous that the Titans are going the cheap route when it comes to a kicker. Because this is a three-point league. They can't get away with what they got away with 2 years ago. Badgley's solid. He is.
He is.
The reason why he got cut by the Chargers, they went with a cheaper option. It really wasn't what he did. I think he got beaten out. But, you know, he's got a pretty decent resume. But, boy, things with Ficken dissolved pretty quickly, and he might have gotten hurt.
So he did get. So he showed up on the injury report with a groin injury on Friday, and was placed on IR. You know, the 3 week IR, placed on IR yesterday, and it's like that escalated quickly for a kicker. I do wonder to your point.
It's pretty funny, Jared. I mean, I've been covering the NFL for a long time. You've been watching it for a long time. It's ironic in this training camp that the hardest position the Titans had to keep healthy was kicker.
So last year, I go to practice, and Greg Joseph and Tucker McCann are battling it out for the kicking job. And I watch him kick, and Dave McGinnis says to me, hey, no instant evaluations. Floyd goes out to one practice, shows up at my house, walks upstairs, and just goes, I'm cutting them both. I say, wait a minute. I say, you know, Dave McGinnis said no instant evaluations. He goes, they missed from 35. Got another crack at it. You know, you miss it one time, okay, make the adjustment. Missed it again from 35. And then missed it again the third time. He goes, if I was general manager, Steven Gostkowski would be in my office this afternoon.
Floyd had it so easy, though. He had Del Greco, he had Nedney.
Oh, my gosh.
No problem, either one.
Well, if John Robinson could just find a Rob Baronis in the Arena Football League, then I think that they'd be okay. But I'll say this to you.
There really isn't an Arena Football League. There sort of is.
I think... Yeah, maybe I'll regret saying this. I think Bagley will be okay.
But you know what? Even though we laugh and we joke about this is serious, though, because if you look at the game on Thursday night, what did it come down to? It came down to a field goal between Tampa and Dallas.
Yeah.
It may come down to this.
That game winner?
Oh.
Who he used to play for?
Suckup.
Yeah.
So I'll say this about Suckup, though. When he kicks, like when he was the Titans kicker, he was drilling. Now when he kicks, it's like, please – ball, get over the upright.
But it's so many things that entails in this. I mean, when Bagley was with the San Diego Chargers, he had a different holder. So now there's a different holder with the Tennessee Titans. So we don't look at those things. Does he feel comfortable with the holder? Does he feel comfortable with the snapper? So there's so many variables that goes into this.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Titans offense. We'll go inside the playbooks. That's Moving the Chains, presented by TriStar Movers. TriStar Movers, my official movers, TriStar Moving with five-star service. We are live at Rock Bottom. 2 hours to kick
Let's
off
go.
Between the Titans and the Cardinals. The season opener. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Inside the Playbook is brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
You are the offensive coordinator today. You're
yes, sir.
Todd Downing.
Let's go.
And you've got Julio Jones to go with A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Chester Rogers, Anthony Firkser, and Josh Reynolds. But they've got J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones on the edge. They've got Buda Baker at safety. They've got the two high draft picks, Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons at linebacker, and you've got to contest with that today. What's your plan?
I think the number one key to the whole game is the Tennessee Titans have to start fast. I mean, I know that sounds, you know, coach talk, but if they start fast, get the ball to Julio Jones, get his feet wet. Everybody knows that the Tennessee Titans are going to run the ball. Henry's just a guy that's going to pound him, stay in front of the chains. But get those guys involved early. Get Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, you know, Josh Reynolds, Chester Rogers, all those guys. Get them involved early so they can get their feet wet so they can consistently make plays. But just like what I talked about a little bit earlier, yeah, they got a front that's great. Yes, they got a defense front that kind of scares you. But the thing about it is, the Tennessee Titans have to be physical at the line of scrimmage. I know Quisenberry's going to be starting the right tackle. I think we're kind of concerned about that, but we have to be physical. Lawan's healthy. Saffold's ready to go. So if we control the line of scrimmage, you know, run the ball, pound them in the mouth, throw short passes to A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and let them run. And I'm telling you, man, this could be a special time for the Tennessee Titans. I'm telling you, they got some explosiveness. They're physical. They're big. And they're going to go right at the Arizona Cardinals.
I really think if the Titans can get Derrick Henry to that, to the second level, it's going to be he's going to be a handful. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Simmons, you know, outstanding player at Clemson, played on the line, played linebacker, played in the secondary, and is still trying to find his way in the NFL. And Zaven Collins, you know, was a curiosity, but he went to Wyoming?
No, Tulsa.
Tulsa, that's right, Tulsa. But, you know, again, I think the Titans like their chances if Derrick Henry can get to the second level.
Chris brought up David Quessenberry is going to be the starter at right tackle. We saw Quessenberry play left tackle last year. I went to one game last season. They played Cleveland. And Quessenberry was matched up at one point one-on-one with Myles Garrett, and there was absolutely nothing he could do. Not to say that I would expect Taylor Lewan to be able to handle Myles Garrett one-on-one, and this guy's a third-string guy in Quessenberry. But he's going to get J.J. Watt a lot today, I think. And that I am a little worried because I said this on the show the other day. And Teron Davenport said that he thinks that Arizona's not going to stack the box. I would do the exact opposite if I'm Vance Joseph. I'm bringing the heat because I am going to test David Quessenberry. I'm going to test this Titans offensive line that hasn't practiced much together. And I'm bringing it with J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones in hopes that I can get to Tannehill because my corners can't cover these receivers.
Yeah, see. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the whole thing today with the effectiveness of Derrick Henry, it allows Tannehill to use play action. Mm-hmm. And he's terrific in play action. And that obviously keeps guys off the offensive line. And you know, again, hard to stack the box in those situations. But the good thing is Quessenberry's on the right side, not the left side. If he's your left tackle, you know, you're in trouble. Yeah. But being on the right side, you know, I'm sure Todd Downing is going to give him help, you know, regardless of who it is. If it's Michael Pruitt or if it's Swaim or whatever, they're going to give him help in blocking, whether it's Chandler Jones or J.J. Watt or whomever, you know, decides to try to pressure that side of the Titans' offensive line.
You know, I think the pressure, you know, resounds on Todd Downing. Because Todd Downing's got to put the right formation on the field to get him if he needs him. So you go into a 12 personnel, that's one back, two tight ends. So now that helps Quisenberry if he gets in trouble. So it's not just on Quisenberry to block somebody. It's about Todd Downing putting him in position to be successful. So,
speaking of Downing, Jason Fitz is a real good buddy of mine, but probably the biggest Raiders fan that I know. And I asked Fitz when they hired Todd Downing because he spent a year as the offensive coordinator of the Raiders. And Fitz absolutely can't stand Todd Downing. Now, I think that Arthur Smith kind of laid the groundwork for what Downing should do, and it's just pick up the keys and go with it. And I think Tannehill, too, has a big say in what they do offensively. But is there a concern about Todd Downing going into today's game?
Not from that perspective. No. I think, you know, with all due respect, I think that's absolute garbage. Because
well, at least he said with all due respect.
No, and Jason, I like Jason. Yeah. He's been very kind to me, you know, through the years. But, you know, I don't – that's a fan talking.
Absolutely.
I remember Greg Williams.
Yep.
1 year went to Jacksonville, and they were terrible on defense. Mm-hmm. If you don't have players in this league, mm-hmm. I don't care how good a coach you are. In fact, sometimes a coordinator's best coaching comes when he has inferior talent. Todd Downing has a loaded offense. Yep. I don't know what to expect from him. But again, you know, he was around Arthur Smith. He knows what they have. They've got much better personnel than he did with the Raiders. So that doesn't concern me.
And you said Arthur Smith. He laid the foundation and he laid the blueprint of what this Tennessee Titans offense is. All he has to do is kind of follow that blueprint. And so if he follows that blueprint and finds the matchups like Arthur Smith did, I think he definitely could be successful. I just think that the reason why a lot of people are struggling with him being the offensive coordinator is because they're not familiar with him. Once they get familiar with what he does in Arizona Cardinal games and earns a fan's trust, I think he's going to be successful.
What do we make on the offensive side of the ball about Chester Rogers? The depth chart has him listed as the slot over Josh Reynolds. I said after the two Tampa Bay practices, I thought there was a legitimate relationship there with Tannehill. I look at Ferkser and Rogers, Mark Howard, as kind of big keys offensively, because we know everybody is worried about Julio, AJ, and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think those are their outlets. And you look and you see, and the Titans haven't gotten a whole lot of production from the slot position the last few years. You know, they made a big signing, didn't work out with Humphrey, and you know, he moved on. But Chester Rogers had a great camp. I think he's going to be a real asset for them. And Ferkser is a guy, you know, a developmental player who keeps getting better every year. He worked on his body. You know, you can see that he made the necessary changes. He wants to be a better blocker, and he has worked himself into being a starting tight end in the NFL. You know, and I love the story. And I don't see him regressing at all. I think he's going to be a huge asset to them.
I think the reason why Chester Rogers has been so successful in camp until now is because he's been consistent. I mean, when you have a wide receiver that's been consistent, he's in the right place at the right time, and your quarterback trusts him, oh, he's going to look for you. I mean, if you look in camp, who was he looking for when it's 3rd and 5? He wasn't looking for A.J. Brown. They wasn't there. He wasn't looking for Julio Jones. He wasn't there either. But still, he was still looking for Chester Rogers. That just shows you that I have trust in you. I believe in you. I know you're going to be in the right spot. I know you're going to make the play. And if Tannehill can trust him, and then you add those two big dogs on the outside, that's a bomb waiting to explode.
Now, here's the important thing you're going to learn, Mark, about working with Chris Sanders. And that is, offensively, Chris, how important is it that the Titans win the coin toss today and get the ball?
Well, I think it's important. I mean, it changes the momentum. You hate it, too. You absolutely hate it.
Does it change the momentum?
There you go.
Most coaches want to receive in the second half.
I'm going to tell you why. We played the team the first game, okay?
Yeah.
We took the ball. we ran it down their throat, and we scored. Look at their body language on the sideline. Let me tell you something. If the Tennessee Titans have a 15-play drive, look at Arizona's body language when they walk to the sideline. 100%.
That might be true on Friday for NBA, but I don't see it as a big deal with the NFL.
Okay, I'm going to give you a prayer. Who had the ball on Thursday night first? Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right?
Tampa Bay had Tom freaking Brady.
Doesn't matter.
Bigger issue is that Tampa Bay had the ball last. Not that they had the ball first.
Yeah, exactly. It's who has the ball last, not first.
You baited me with that.
I mean, so my girlfriend last year starts listening to the show, and she hears one week Chris Sanders say the key to the game is to win the coin toss.
And it worked.
2 weeks later, she hears Chris Sanders say the key to the game is to win the coin toss. And I have never been able to let that go.
And guess what's going to be the key of this game is? Winning the game toss. I mean, winning the toss.
Wow.
100%. It's the momentum, man. You ask any football player that if you have the momentum in the game, that's the team that's going to win.
When you played on the Titans and they called it in the air, yes. You guys won, and Coach Fisher wanted to defer to the second half. Did you stand there and say, you know what, Coach Fisher just cost us the game?
Man.
Do you wake up and forget where your toothbrush is?
I love you guys, man. Golly.
The worst part about it, too, was when Chris was going off about how important the coin toss was, the phone lines blew up with everybody siding with Chris.
Absolutely.
And then TD sided with Chris, too, about the coin toss.
TD, help me out, man. Call me, man. I need your help, boss.
We'll turn it on to the other side. We'll take a look at the defense. We'll go inside the playbook presented by E2 Roofing coming up next. We're live at Rock Bottom Brewery. Again, every home game this season, we will be out here on the rooftop. Chris Sanders, Mark Howard, yours truly, breaking down the Titans pregame show. Again, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app as well as YouTube and Twitch and Twitter as well. So check us out there. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Inside the Defensive Playbook is presented by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. Mark Howard, let's say the end of the world happens. The Titans lose the coin toss, and Arizona gets the ball to start the game. Now, Kyler Murray, as we all know, is a threat in the NFL, taken number one overall 2 years ago. DeAndre Hopkins, as we all know, if you've watched a Titan game over the last 10 years, is a humongous threat. They've added Rondale Moore in the draft, A.J. Green from Cincinnati, Rodney Hudson at center from the Raiders. What do we think of Arizona's offense, and what are kind of the keys on defense for the Titans today?
Well, I think, first of all, Arizona doesn't have a great pass-blocking offense. So let's get that out there right now. You know, and their interior guys, you know, Justin Pugh and Justin Murray, you know, we're talking all about, the secondary's great, the pass rush is this. You know what is markedly better on the Titans this year? Their D-line. DeNico Autry, Tyre Tart had a great, great camp. You know, Autry came over from the Colts. Jeffrey Simmons seems poised for a huge year. If they have a big year, the guys playing behind them will. Chris can tell you what happened when Javon Kurse got here. Chris can tell you when Albert Haynesworth was, you know, was at his height, everybody behind him benefited, so, or next to him.
You know, I agree with you 100%. I think the key is going to be Autry, Dupree, Simmons, Landry, Tart, and actually Byard. And when I say that, when I talk about that
don't
front.
Don't forget Malik Hooker. Malik Hooker.
Absolutely.
This is a big year for Imani Hooker.
Yeah. And I think, too, is we got to get them in second and third and long. And the way you do that is that defensive line has to bat the balls down. I mean, if you look at Terrell Williams, the D-line coach, he consistently was doing drills about batting balls down. So when you're batting balls down in the second and 10 and third and 10, now you put the pressure on Kyler Murray to make him make mistakes. But the one thing you can't do is if we collapse the pocket and he gets outside, that's where the problem is going to lie. So what they have to do is they have to do what they did against the Ravens about 2 or 3 years ago when they were in the playoff games. They kept Lamar from getting outside. So if they keep Kyle Murray from getting outside, then they can be successful and keep him third and second and long.
Yeah, I think you're going to see Shane Bowen, Mush Rush, Murray, you know, which means it's all about containment today and not really sacking the quarterback. And again, they just want to keep him in the pocket, and if he beats him from there, God bless you.
Yeah, but the only thing that concerns me is the secondary. Now, if they don't get to Kyler Murray, you got some dogs on that offense.
I understand.
We got A.J. Green. We got Hopkins. We got Isabella. We haven't talked about this. A fast receiver.
Yeah.
So Elijah Molden and those guys are going to have to cover.
But you don't want Murray breaking containment,
absolutely,
extending the play, because then for DBs, show could be over.
Well, I was going to ask, how would you guys line up against Hopkins here? Because we know Vrabel wants to play man-to-man, and they went out and got a bunch of man-to-man corners. So you're going to have Christian Fulton is probably going to be matched up with somebody. Maybe you give him some help. Jack Rabbit Jenkins is going to be matched up probably with A.J. Green and no help for him. I mean, probably Jack Rabbit, you got him, that's it. How would you line up the second?
Honestly, I was talking to TD because we were talking about that, about how they're going to play Hopkins and Green. He was telling me that they're going to play sides. When we talk about play sides, wherever A.J. Green goes, that's where they're going to play. And if wherever Hopkins goes, that's what they're going to cover. So I just think that Shane Bowen has to understand what the situation is. If it's third and long, who are they looking for? If it's second and 10 and they throw the ball, who are they looking for? So if they're looking for A.J. Green or if they're looking for Hopkins, then that's when you start to get the double teams. And I think that if they did their homework, they know that where Kyle Murray's looking for when those situations happen.
I just don't see them playing a lot of man today.
But they want to, though.
They might want to, but I don't think it's a smart play against a quarterback like Murray.
Yeah, but then we got to understand, too, they don't have a shabby running game now. I mean, with James Conner coming over, he's not a bad dude. You got Edmonds that's over there. I know with like,
it's average.
So you talking about those cats are average?
Yeah.
I think they're average. I mean, I may regret this at 4 o'clock, but I think they're average.
Can I do the Floyd Reese laugh?
I'm way more worried. I'll tell you what, way more worried about Kyler Murray running the football.
Absolutely.
Than I am those two guys running the football.
I mean, James Conner's going to get his 70, 80 yards. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Edmonds is a good receiver. But, again, you know, I'm not. Those aren't the guys I'm worried about.
No, I'm not just saying worried about. But if you get guys like that that's going to stay in front of the chains, then that chains,
well, yeah,
then it allows
obviously
you to do so many things.
I feel personally like the Titans have played Lamar Jackson over the last 2 years three times. And they've won two out of the three. And the one game they didn't win was the game where Lamar Jackson beat him with his legs.
Right.
And that's how I'm approaching this game, is I think that Lamar is better than Kyler, but Kyler's got better weapons than Lamar does. And I think to myself, can they play the defense they've played against the Ravens that's worked, which is, as Mark said, you know, kind of mash it up a little bit. But can you do that when it's not Hollywood Brown, it's DeAndre Hopkins?
But see, the difference between this is when we were playing the Baltimore Ravens, they didn't have any guys that scared you on the outside. I know they had Hollywood Brown, but now you look at the Arizona Cardinals. They got some dogs now. I mean, just like what we talked about. And, you know, even in the slum, you have Isabel, you have Moore. Those guys can beat you by running those teams because there's nobody in the slot that can run with those guys. So, you know, we just got to be careful. We just got to keep everything in front of us, but we can't be scared. We got to be aggressive.
Mark, how worried are you? Rookie corners, we don't know how much Caleb Farley's going to play today. Elijah Molden in the slot. How much? And Fulton really didn't play much last year, so I think he's kind of a rookie-ish. How concerned are we with the youth in the secondary?
Well, I am concerned. This is a good receiving core, as Chris mentioned. And, you know, what kind of pressure are they going to get on Murray? That's another question. You know, again, I still think they're going to play some form of zone. And we'll just have to wait and see. But I thought Molden had a good camp. You know, I still think he's raw. And this is, Fulton's another chance for Fulton to really prove himself and to show that he's really improved.
Do you think he's ready for that?
Yeah.
I look at the Titans on defense, and I wonder to the defensive line point Chris had about batting down balls, Murray's height and arm angle in which he throws the football. How effective do you think a guy like Simmons, who has made a living out of batting down passes or tipping passes in the air, how big of a role can that be?
I mean, that can be huge because if you look at last year and the year before, that's a lot of things that he did. He always batting down balls. But we're not talking about another guy that can also bat some balls down too, and that's Autry from the Indianapolis Colts. He's a big physical guy, jump up and bat the balls down. So if they could consistently do that and keep them in third and long and second and long, I think it'll help the secondary by doing that.
Yeah, I think Murray is still a work in progress, and that's one of the things I think that worries Arizona is his release point sometimes because he turns himself into a 5'9 quarterback. You know, when he does that, true, if he's not over the top. So, yeah, that is obviously a concern. When you do that, you're a lot more susceptible to having your passes batted down at the line of scrimmage.
How do we feel about the pass rush with Landry and Dupree paired together? Look, Clowney last year was a bust. And this year, they can't afford for Dupree to be the same level of bust. But at the same time, I think there's probably... I'm a little nervous. I think Dupree's going to be much better than Clowney or Beasley. But I'm a little nervous that maybe Dupree's not the answer to the problem like they're paying him to be.
I think they'll have more sacks than last year. But, you know, beyond that, I'm just going to take a wait-and-see attitude. I think less snaps for Landry will actually be good for him. I'll wait and see if he's added to his repertoire. He was kind of a one-trick pony. You know, he's kind of Javon Kearse, you know, with the outside move. And at some point, you got to add something because they're waiting for you. So, you know, I think the pass rush will be better. I just don't know what Dupree is going to add to that. You know, a lot of people argue that Dupree was a byproduct of T.J. Watt.
Mm. Yeah, but, I mean, and I'm concerned a little bit about Dupree.
You know, a lot of people think that Dupree could be the football version of Matt Duchene.
Oh, no.
Yeah, who looked good by being on a line with other good players.
But which Dupree is going to show up? That's what's going to – is it going to be the one that before he got hurt at Pittsburgh? Or which one is it going to be to hurt Dupree? So which one are we going to see? If we see the one that we saw in Pittsburgh, he got hurt, oh, my gosh, we got a bargain on our hand. But
I'm going to say this. The Steelers, the second that he got hurt, were not – they were not
saying
the same team after that last year. I mean, they were undefeated when he was on their team. And they couldn't beat the Bengals without him. Now, the Titans couldn't beat the Bengals either, so I don't know exactly what that'll tell you. The inactives, who's in, who's out, we'll have that. Plus, Mike Vrabel gives us his key to the game. We'll do that coming up next. We're live at Rock Bottom Brewery downtown again. This will be our home for the pregame show. We're on the fourth floor rooftop. Come on up, say hey, as we are hanging out here. Mark Howard, Chris Sanders, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back to Rock Bottom Brewery out here downtown Nashville, Rock Bottom Brewery, the pregame show. Mark Howard, Chris Sanders hanging out with you. And the inactives, we'll get those set for you here in just a second as the Titans get set to take on the Arizona Cardinals. Chris Sanders is awaiting the coin toss results.
I'm so ready, baby.
As far as the keys are concerned. Here's the inactives for the Titans. Out today, number 13 wide receiver Cam Batson.
Whoa.
Offensive lineman Dylan Radins. Tight end Tommy Hudson. Pass rusher Rashad Weaver.
What?
Defensive back Chris Jackson. Linebacker David Long Jr. And wide receiver Josh Reynolds is inactive today for the Titans. What are some shocking names there, Chris Sanders?
Weaver.
Josh Reynolds, inactive today. Rashad Weaver, inactive. Dylan Radins, and you two remember at the draft when I lost my bananas when they picked Dylan Radins, inactive today. What do we make of the Titans inactive?
Well, I wouldn't jump off a building yet over Dylan Radins. I think his learning curve, speaks for itself. I think the Titans knew this was going to be a redshirt year. And they're adjusting accordingly. That is sort of the way they roll. They haven't drafted a lot of sudden impact rookies, and Radins is definitely a case in point. But I'm pretty confident at some point this season you'll see him out there, probably at right tackle. I don't know why they play him at guard, but that doesn't surprise me at all. Reynolds did not, he was banged up a little bit in camp, didn't do a whole lot, and. You know, you got to put your best 53 out there.
Weaver, who was most consistent on the defense in the preseason? I know it's just the preseason, but it was Weaver.
Yeah.
Weaver was all over the place. And I understand that you had depth of positions, but with that, what he did in the preseason, I'm going to figure out a way to get him on the field. He got strong hands. He could set the edge. He can do some things that we've been missing for the last couple of years. And then you have Reynolds. What's the difference between him and Fitzpatrick? Zero. I mean, I kind of expected that. Because what he did in the preseason, how many catches did he have in the preseason? Zero. How many yards did he have in preseason? Zero. How many touchdowns did he have? Zero. So I'm not surprised with that one, but I really am surprised with Weaver.
You really are all about the preseason stats for Josh Reynolds.
I mean,
Julio Jones didn't have a catch either.
Yeah, but he's proven.
And I'm Josh Reynolds is to a certain extent.
Yeah, but the thing about it is I watched some of his videos. I watched some of the things he did. He's just not as explosive as I want him to be. Me and TD talk about this all the time about being explosive in you because being explosive off the line of scrimmage, and I just didn't see it. There's no difference between him and Fitzpatrick.
I do think the Titans are disappointed with what they've gotten out of Josh Reynolds so far. I mean, I think there's – and I said this after the first practice at Tampa Bay, that it was obvious to me that Chester Rogers was further ahead than he was as far as Tannehill's trust was concerned, and the Titans clearly going in that route. Plus, what does Josh Reynolds do for you on special teams? Is another element to all of this. But, I mean, I would be a little concerned about Reynolds. It's not the end of the world. I'm not, Chris is treating him like he's Kevin Pamphiel at wide receiver. I'm not ready to get there. The one guy, there were two guys in 5 years of doing radio with Floyd, there were two Titan players he couldn't stand. Pamphiel and Darren Bates.
Absolutely.
And his problem with Darren Bates was Darren Bates took his helmet off during a preseason game, and Floyd wanted to cut him right then and there. Inactive today for the Cardinals, Chris Strebler, running back Eno Benjamin, Luke Barco, Tay Gowen, and Joshua Miles. I don't even know who any of those guys are. The Arizona Cardinals aren't missing much. You brought up Weaver. I do think about this when I see that Rashad Weaver is inactive. What is the depth at outside linebacker so that Harold Landry is not playing 95% of the snaps today? And we know Derek Roberson will be out there.
Right.
But other than that, is there enough of a rotation for them to keep guys in and out?
Well, I think it's going to be primarily those three guys. And it'll be interesting to see. I think David Long is sort of an underrated loss today.
He's got a hamstring.
Yeah, a guy who has really come on. He's a great tackler. The fact of the matter is, I think they're going to miss him today. Maybe I think you're going to notice his absence more than you would Weaver's.
Yeah, I mean, I just watched him, Weaver, what he did in the preseason. I know I said a little bit before, but, man, he just brings something to that defense. I understand that there's different guys that are going to be put in there. But I'm going to figure out a way to get him on the field, especially with some of the rotation. Get him in there about, you know, 10 and 12 plays a game just so he can make some impact. So it's just kind of, you know, mind-boggling. I'm not the coach. I'm not disrespecting any coach. But what he did in the preseason, I'm a winner of what he done.
I thought it was a no-brainer that Weaver was going to be. I mean, yeah. This is me. I was a no-brainer. Weaver was going to be in there, and he was going to be in the mix. And I'm shocked to see all the other guys, even Reynolds. Like, I'm disappointed that Reynolds is inactive, but I'm not shocked by it. Weaver's the one that I look at, and I'm like, whoa, that seemed to be a little surprising. Time now to take a look at Mike Vrabel's key to the game. Mike Vrabel's keys presented by Hillside Medical Clinic. The inactives list and Mike Vrabel's keys to the game are brought to you every week by the Hillside Medical Clinic. Mike Vrabel asked, what key is he stressing to the players going into week one?
It's not, you know, going out there. We never want to beat ourselves, but there's just so much that happens in week one. You know, we're just around the National Football League, and you watch and you see that even last night, the turnovers and the situation.
Chris, what do you make of that? You've had many week ones in your career, and the idea that kind of anything can happen, teams can throw things at you. What do you make of it?
I mean, what he's really talking about, I know there's a lot of co-star, but I'm going to put it plain so we can understand. Basically, he just wants to have rhythm on offense, no turnovers, and on defense, get some three and outs. And that's kind of what I alluded with before I started, you know, saying all this, is about starting fast. You have to start fast. You want to have rhythm on offense. You want to get a three and out on defense. And that's exactly what he stressed. And also he stressed about, you know, not making mistakes on special teams. I mean, I know that sounds kind of cliche-ish and all those great things, but that can lose you a game. You want to start fast on offense. You want to have the rhythm, get your receivers involved, have a good running game, and get a three and out, and then now you can start having more productive things later on in the game.
Yeah, you don't want to lose special teams, and, you know, we can talk about kick coverage, and that seemed to be an emphasis for the Titans. And, you know, we'll see what they get on kick returns with Chester Rogers.
No.
But, you know, I'm not worried about Brett Kern. You know, Badgley, it's going to be interesting to see. It would be appropriate if the game comes down to one of his kicks.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I would hate to see your face on Monday.
I said to John Robinson before the AFC Championship game, he came on the show and I asked him, you know, because Greg Joseph was the team's kicker for like the last 7 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
And Tannehill was so good that they never had to kick. And so I'm sitting like, this is the AFC Championship game. And I said to John Robinson, he came to the show, I go, 42 yards to win it. Trip to the Super Bowl on the line. Mm. Greg Joseph goes out there. How nervous are you? And, you know, John Robinson said, let it rip, Tater Chip, and whatever. And I said to Floyd off the air, I said, how nervous? He goes, you could have the best kicker in the league, and if it's 42 to the Super Bowl, you're going to be nervous. He said, if it's 42 and this guy to the Super Bowl, you're going to be real nervous. And I think about Badgley. I'm not that worried about Badgley. Because the guy, I just know this, anything 40-plus is a question mark. Right. Anything inside of 40, he's going to hit. Maybe that changes your mind of what you do on a 4th-and-2,
right,
you know, at that point. But we'll, TD's at the stadium. He'll join us in a little bit, and we'll see what Badgley's range is right now. But I think that anything inside of 40, you can feel comfortable.
But
there's a lot we don't know. We don't know if Gostkowski has totally lost interest with coming back.
Well, here's what I've heard. I'll tell you what. I heard that Gostkowski is not happy with the way that the Titans this offseason kind of approached it with a, yeah, you
we'll
know, let's
you
go with the young guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then he wanted to come in and camp, and he wanted to get a camp in where he's kicking in the preseason because he didn't feel like he got that last year. And then they, you know, didn't call. And then and I think, too, a guy like Gostkowski, if he's on your roster week one, he's guaranteed for the season. Badgley, 3 years of experience in the NFL, not guaranteed for the season for him to be on the roster today.
Yeah, if you really care, you'd call.
but it's not just what the field goals that I'm concerned about, too. I mean, look at Chester Rogers. Now he's in a position to where the Tennessee Titans really, really need him. I mean, when's the last time he's been in this position to where he's won the outright, you know, punt return? Mm-hmm. So that's a concern, too. I mean, it's a whole different environment. It's a whole different city. It's a whole different stadium. So what is he going to do? So it's not just kick return. I mean, just a field goal.
Teron Davenport will join us live at Nissan Stadium. We'll do that coming up next. We are live from Rock Bottom Brewery on the other side of the river as we get you set for Titans and Cardinals. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. We are live at Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, Chris Sanders, and we are joined now by Teron Davenport, presented by Freedom Tire Guys. So, TD, let's start with the obvious. How exciting is it for opening day? Fans are going to be back in the stadium. How exciting is it? And these two teams get ready to play today.
Hey, man, there's two words that I can say for that, and that's Merry Christmas. We're getting ready to unwrap some gifts, man. You get to see Bud Dupree. I'm actually watching him warm up now. Julio Jones was out here earlier. So this is going to be a great day, and the fans are filtering in. And you got to feel the energy, man. I love it. I love it. It's a beautiful day. I mean, what more could you ask for?
TD, first of all, I want to ask, how concerned are you that this offense as a whole – we really didn't see them play together very much during training camp and in the preseason.
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's actually something that, you know, I felt would be really difficult for them to work out. But in talking to Julio Jones, talking to Tannehill, those guys seem to be on the same page. And one of the things that they really relied upon was their ability to communicate in the classroom. Now, they've had, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I would say three practices to kind of work together on the field. It's really going to be about just getting that feel for each other as far as like coming out of the break, how Julio accelerates, how he comes out, on what angle against this coverage versus that coverage, or this way a corner is playing. That's going to be critical. And then also developing that trust, where Julio Jones has to trust that Ryan Tannehill isn't going to lead him into harm's way, right? Going across the middle, those type of things, you know, throwing him away from the defense, right, where the big hit is coming. That's the type of thing that it's just you can't get that in the classroom. So they're going to work on the field and continue to develop that. But overall, everyone is pretty confident. Being as though they're professionals, they're confident that they're going to be good to go.
All right, it's going to be hot today. Julio had you know, some injury issues in the preseason during camp. Do you think he's on a pitch count today?
I really don't think he's on a pitch count. You know, I think he's going to be good to go. And look, man, they invested a lot into Julio Jones. So why not showcase your new acquisition right away? And that's why for Whiteboard Wednesday, you know what I did. First play of the game, play action, go over top, and yep, hit Julio Jones. Now, I'm not sure if they're going to go that aggressive, but I do believe he's going to get a lot of snaps. And Chris Sanders, you know, his guy Josh Reynolds is inactive today, so that only makes it even more likely he'll get more reps.
Diddy, you do not have to do him like that.
Wow. I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about the defense. I mean, you know, the Arizona Cardinals have some firepower. They got Hopkins, Green, you know, Christian Kirk, Isabella, and we got Rondale. How in the heck is Shane Bowen going to stop this empowered defense?
That's why. How close did he get over here? Yeah, I think it's going to be tough, right, because you got these guys in Hopkins, you got A.J. Green on the other side, as you mentioned, Moore. That's going to be a difficult task to handle all that, but I think they're going to just play sides, and I would expect to see some pressure, right? You know, Elijah Molden, in my prediction, is going to be the starting nickel, and I would expect to see them blitzing him, send him, so that way you can kind of get pressure on Murray. You have to have that tiered pass rush against Murray, because he's one of those guys, right? It's almost like a cat. Like, if he gets his head through a hole, the rest of his body is gone, and he's going to be gone. So you have to be really decisive in disciplined in your pass rush lane, and that's why they keep saying they're looking to capture, not kill Murray, and that's the key, is not trying to, you know, get that kill shot because they'll make you miss. And you know how he runs. It's like a little kid that stole something, and you're chasing him down the block. You know those little kids with the silver caps in their mouth?
That's absolutely
what he reminds me of on the football field.
You know, and then you alluded to Dupree earlier. You know, just looking at him warm up, can he realistically finish a whole game? Because we talked about when he was at Pittsburgh how explosive he was. Do you still see that explosivity while he was warming up today?
I see it, but here's the thing, Chris. What it comes down to is not only that explosiveness, but the mental part of it, right? When there's a pile, right, are you gonna be backing up because you're concerned about that knee, right? When you're turning the corner and you got a lineman blocking down, or like when you're looping inside and that tackle blocks down on you, how are you going to withstand that physically as well as mentally? And I think that's really where the question is. The ability is there. I mean, we've seen him out there all throughout camp with naked knees, like no brace or anything on there. So he clearly, from a physical standpoint, is okay. But we really just have to see mentally and just like when you get those hits on the knee, that's the key, how that's going to be.
Yes, sir.
Teron Davenport with us, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com. TD, what has the Money Badger, Michael Badgley, what has he looked like? He's going to be the kicker today, elevated from the practice squad or signed to the active roster with Sam Ficken going on IR. We know he's hit everything inside of 40 in his career. How has he looked in warm-up so far?
Yeah, just what you said, very consistent. So that's something that he's done. You know, he's kicking off too and getting, you know, kicking into the end zone, which is exactly what you want. So right now, John Robinson is over there talking to him and you know, fist bumping. So clearly the GM approves of what he's done. So I think he's going to be all right. We'll just see. I think we're just going to have to see how this works because, I mean, there's a complete degree of unfamiliarity there, you know, with that whole relay. So Cox, the current holding to that.
TD, what did you make of Rashad Weaver being inactive today? We were kind of stunned. We were more stunned about Weaver being inactive than we were about Reynolds being inactive today.
Yeah, I was very surprised that Reynolds, Weaver was inactive just because, so this is a guy, they work different things. I mean, he's not just working an outside linebacker. I thought he was like the fourth or fifth guy in that rotation. But then again, you see him bumping inside to three tech on some of their sub packages, you know, and that's what he did in the preseason. So I expected to see them, you know, get him out there. And you want to just show as many different angles as possible against a guy like Kyler Murray. So I'm definitely surprised. But, you know, end of the day, it is what it is. And you know, they have versatility and they could drop Derek Roberson down as a hand in the dirt guy. So if they got to do that, or they can reverse Autry and use him as an outside backer in some of the run-heavy situations. So that's something else to look at as well, just how they run that zone read, right, and some of the things that they like to do. If you get a big guy like Autry or even Weaver on there at outside linebacker to kind of, like, set that edge, that will really help out because, you know, once Kyler Murray, like, if he pulls it and he goes to that stretch look, you need somebody out there to funnel him back inside because, again, you can't let him get into the open field.
TD, I'm excited about the Titans D-line, the additions they made, not only Autry, but the emergence of T.R. Tart in his second year. And of course, Jeffrey Simmons seems poised for a big year. But what about that matchup today? Because I think that's going to be huge because it'll dictate pressure. It'll dictate coverage.
Yeah, and that's a part of that tiered pass rush that you have to have, right? You got to push it from the interior, have two guys coming from the outside, one deep and one midway, and you can just kind of corral it. And it's just like how I talked about attacking Lamar Jackson, right? It's like lions hunting the gazelle, right? So that's what you have when you're pushing that pocket on the interior. You have, that's the lion waiting for the other lines that are trying to flush him up. So that's something that's really important to be able to do that. And when you look at the Titans going against the Cardinals, right, Josh Jones is a guy out of Houston that the Titans were very interested in when they were looking at that right tackle spot. He's playing right guard. So we want to see how that matchup works. And I think it's going to be really key, you know, what goes on in the interior. The other thing you have to remember, Kyler Murray, 16 balls batted at the line of scrimmage. That was the second most in the league last year. Guess what? They brought out the kick balls, and they're working on matching hands in practice. That's what they did. And, you know, Jeffrey Simmons is really good at getting those tip passes, and that could lead to a big play. When you have a game like this where there's going to be a lot of points scored, something like that could really be critical to the outcome of the game.
Yeah. What about Firkser, you know, who worked on his body in the offseason? He's gotten better every year. You know, TD, you and I and Rex Rode and everybody else, Jared and Chris, and, you know, we're screaming for them to bring in Ertz or another more experienced tight end. But what about the opportunity that he'll be presented with, given how you figure defenses are going to cover the receivers?
Yeah, that's another good question, because here's the deal. When you look at Zaven Collins, you look at Isaiah Simmons, these are two really good cover backers, right? And the thing that I'm wondering is, I'll say this, I expect the Cardinals to blitz a lot, right? So on those blitzes like that, somebody's going to be left hot. So that's where Ferguson could be a guy that could pop up. But if just regular, you know, base defense, no blitzes, just man, you know, cat on cat, I don't know that Ferguson has the advantage against Collins and especially against Simmons. So I'm not sure that he'll be as much of a factor. You know, you figure they'll use a lot of 11 personnel. Me personally, I would try to get that ball to Chester Rogers, you know, in the slot. And then obviously on the outside, those would be the ones that I would target. So when you have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones going against these corners, and especially when they're blitzing, which is leaving them on the island one-on-one, I'm taking that matchup every single day of the week.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about offensive line. I'll be real quick. Are you concerned about the right tackle position with Quisenberry winning that position?
I wouldn't be concerned about it because, you know, the thing for me, Quisenberry is very athletic, and he's also technically sound. So here's the thing, man. Like, you're not looking for him to pile drive J.J. Watt or anything like that. Just get in his way. That's really what it boils down to. So I think they'll be okay there. And then also remember, in a lot of the zone scheme, right, you're blocking spots and not as much of a man. So he could just get to that spot and block that off. I think they'll be okay. But, you know, at the end of the day, you still have Watt. You got Marcus Golden, very heavy-handed pass rusher. And you got Chandler Jones, who's one of the best in the league. And that length that he brings is something special.
And this question is for Jared. I mean, I'm saying it to you, but this is for Jared. Tell him how important the coin toss is.
Hey, tails never fails, man. And I think it is important just because it allows you to dictate, you know, how you want to set the tone. You know
Thank
what
you.
I mean? And you look at, hey, if you're a defensive team like the Titans, you're like, hey, look, man, defense, go out there, shut them down, and, you know, offense, get on the field, Derrick Henry, down your throat, and let's rock. You know, I think that's really what it boils down to.
He's saying he'd go on defense.
No, you did not say you'll go on defense. You said how important the coin toss was, right?
Yeah, I said how important the coin toss was. But, see, here's the deal. What I'm saying is it allows you to set the tone that you want,
Absolutely.
Right? If you want to set the tone that this is going to be a long day trying to tackle Derrick Henry, guess what you do? The first drive. You dump him down.
First go.
If you want to show them that it's going to be a long day for Kyle Burrow, put the defense out
TD.
There.
TD.
He said put the defense out there. There you go.
No, he didn't, TD. I can always count on you, my guy.
You already know.
TD, we appreciate you. Have a good one today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. You'll be with Darren Donick and Chase, as always, and all throughout the week.
Appreciate you, Doc.
Let's go, man. Let's go.
Let's go.
Teron Davenport, he is the best. Presented by FreedomTireGuys.com, National Premier Mobile Tire Company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. Chris, you didn't even listen to
yes,
what he
I
said.
Yes, I did.
He said before you said.
Oh, my God.
He said, you know, I'm a defense guy, so I'm, you know, put the defense out there and let Derrick Henry
get
the ball. Yes, he did.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. He said you want to have Henry to set the tone.
No, he said sometimes you will.
TD, can we call him back, dangummit?
No, we cannot.
I'm just kidding.
Mark Howard, your thoughts on Chris Sanders?
Oh my God!
And his belief in the coin toss.
I think he believes what he wants to believe.
Oh God!
I
just know that Vrabel, you know, always preferred defense first.
I think there's a stat we looked this up last year, and it was like 53% of the time, the team that wins the coin toss and gets the ball wins the game. So it's like so minuscule, like 50.3 or something like that. And Chris was over here all last year convinced that the coin toss was the key. And I don't think you're ever going to unconvince Chris Sanders of that. I know. See, there you go. Coming up next, our picks to click. Ooh-wee. Who's going to click on the offensive side of the ball for the Titans? Who's going to click on the defensive side of the ball for the Titans? We'll do that coming up next as we are live from Rock Bottom Brewery. Again, this will be our home for every home Titans game for the pregame show throughout the entire 2021 season. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Time to pick and click, presented by Parman Tractor, our official sponsor of Picks to Click. Mark Howard is new to this, but it was funny. Just talking with some fans that have always stopped by during the pregame show, big fans of the GMs. There was no segment that the GM made more difficult.
Oh my gosh!
Than Picks to Click. Because every time it was like, all right, give us an offensive player who's going to click, give us a defensive player who's going to click, and explain why on each one. And then he'd sit there and say, I'm going to go with the interior offensive line today. as my pick to click. Or I'm going to go with Dean Pease as my pick to click today.
And well, you can't do that.
Every time it was that way. But it is time for us to pick to click. Who's got a click today against the Arizona Cardinals? Chris Sanders,
yes,
as always, we start with you on the offensive side of the ball. Who do you have to click?
I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill. And the reason why I'm going with Ryan Tannehill, because he's a general. All he got to do is put the ball in any vicinity of A.J. Brown or Julio Jones or Ferkser, and they're going to make the play. So it all depends on him protecting the football, throwing the ball in the right place, and just handing the ball to Henry. I think he's going to be the main factor of the game, Tannehill.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, Derrick Henry.
Oh, God.
I just think he's frothing at the mouth. He's tired of running in the sand pits and uphills and not really participating in even a live practice. So I think he's going to be loaded.
So I'm going to go on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to change up a little bit. Julio Jones. And the only reason I picked Julio was because you picked Tannehill, you picked Henry. Someone's got to take Julio. I'm going to take Julio today. I do think that Julio didn't like it in Atlanta, and Atlanta was ready to get rid of Julio. And they had to get rid of Julio because of the money, and they knew they weren't going to be any good. The Titans have invested a lot into Julio Jones, and I think that Julio Jones knows that, and I think that the respect that the Titans paid Julio by taking on the full salary and being the only team in the league that was willing to give up a second-round pick for him, I think he feels that he owes the Titans something. So I think you're going to see Julio Jones today go out there, and I think he's going to prove to us why he is the best receiver of the last decade in the NFL. And so Arizona's got suspect corners. This should be a big game if they can keep Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt off of Ryan Tannehill. To Mark's point earlier, if they can keep in the play action, I think it's going to be a huge game for A.J. Brown, but especially Julio Jones. And let's not forget, 8 touchdowns in the red zone last year for Jonnu Smith. He's gone. I expect Julio to be a focal target of Ryan Tannehill's in the red zone.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Defensive side of the ball, Chris Sanders.
I am going with Bud Dupree. I mean, if you look at last year where the Tennessee struggled is they struggled to get to the passer. They only had 19 sacks last year. We brought Bud Dupree to come in and try to not just get sacks but pressure the quarterback. I think if he has a big day and puts pressure on Kyler Murray, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful on defense.
And just continuing the grand tradition of newly acquired Titans who are great in week one. Cameron Wake had, what, two and a half sacks?
Stop it.
Cameron
Never
Wimbley.
Heard from him again.
Cameron Wimbley. I think had a good week one.
Holy cow. Remember Cameron Wake?
I remember him, big swole dude.
Jim Washburn, the former Titans D-line coach, was so excited about him coming here. Well, wasn't a lot left in the tank.
He gave you one good week.
I'm going to say Jeffrey Simmons. I think he's going to bat down balls, wreak havoc, maybe even get an A-gap sack.
Ooh. I'm going to go with Amani Hooker. And Ooh. Amani Hooker led the Titans last year in interceptions. He's been elevated into a starting role. Kenny Vaccaro out. And I will say this, having gone to a bunch of training camp practices, Hooker kept making plays. I think he's got a natural ball hawk in him, which is why they loved him so much coming out of Iowa. They put him out on the field a lot as a rookie in it last year. Now he's out there. I think that the Titans' plan is to drop a lot back, as Mark would say, that mash defense, and then try to get Kyler to do something that he doesn't want to do, and it's going to be up to Amani Hooker to be there to make him pay for making a mistake in today's game. So I'm going to go with Amani Hooker.
I like that pick. I mean, just like you said, he's a ball hawk. He's always around the ball. So if he slips up and get a couple of picks today, that can be very, very outstanding for the Titans.
I'm going to say this. Now, I mean, Mark went with, Jeffrey Simmons and Derrick Henry, arguably the two best players on the team. But
I like the jab.
If we were talking about Chris's picks to click, if we were picking the Chicago Bulls, Chris would have said, I'm going to pick Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. Ryan Tannehill and Bud Dupree.
Look at his. He's got Henry.
Hey, I went with Monty
Hooker. How could you not take Henry today?
How'd you not take Tannehill?
That's true. Expand it to 3 picks to click.
There you go. Those are our picks to click presented by Parman Tractor. Again, all throughout the season, our friends at Parman Tractor and Equipment will be bringing you picks to click. One thought on the Arizona Cardinals about today's game is this is a team. Every year, there's some team that comes out of nowhere. Last year, the Buffalo Bills. Now, they had made the playoffs the year before. But Josh Allen ascended from a guy who was a passenger with a great defense to a possible league MVP. We saw Lamar Jackson do that 2 years ago. We saw Patrick Mahomes come out of nowhere in 2018. Then we've seen guys like Derek Carr and Carson Wentz have seasons like that. This, if Kyler was going to break out, and I'm not a huge Kyler Murray fan, but if Kyler Murray was going to break out, Cliff Kingsbury was going to break out to prove himself as coach of the Cardinals, it feels to me, Mark Howard, like this would be the season. And for some reason, that bothers me a little bit.
Well, it should. And they're taking a risk. How much does AJ, how much does AJ Green have left? That's a big question. You know, Larry Fitzgerald was really good almost to the end. And you also look at J.J. Watt. How much greatness does he have left in him? There always seems to be an injury issue with him. It's hard for him to stay on the field for a whole season. 17 games is a tall order for a guy like J.J. Watt. But this is game one. He's well against the Titans.
Yeah.
Boy, has he ever. So that's going to be, to me, an interesting storyline today.
I think with Kyle Murray is everybody's talking about he's too short, he doesn't have the arm strength and all these things. All he is a running quarterback. So the one thing I'm concerned about, he has something to prove. He has an edge because everybody's saying what he cannot do. Last year he threw for almost 4,000 yards, 3,917, and then he had 819 yards rushing. So it shows you that if he can improve on that, then now he becomes being the mid-road of being a great quarterback to being with the echelon in the top 10. So he has a lot to prove. Everybody's talking about what he can do, and you don't believe. As an athlete, you hear that stuff, you start to develop an edge. And if he starts to develop edge with his athleticism and picks up his arm strength, you never know.
I'm not a huge believer in the Arizona Cardinals, but I'll say this. If you told me that you had gone to the future and that they finished second in the NFC West this year, or that they make the playoffs in the NFC West this year, I don't think I'd call you crazy if that's what happens with this team. I mean, I think they're going to finish fourth in that division. I think it's a great division, but they are kind of a weird, you know, kind of like the Oilers 8-8 all of a sudden, out of Javon Kurse, 13-3 and in the Super Bowl.
But it's the unknown. It's just the unknown of what's going to happen. I mean, just like you said, when we were 8-8 for three years in a row, I think 9-7, then all of a sudden in 1999, Steve McNair burst out. Is it going to be the same thing with the Arizona Cardinals? That all of a sudden, okay, Kyler Murray just takes over this offense and be the leader of this team, like what Steve McNair did with us? Hey, that's a scary scene.
Mark Howard, today Ryan Tannehill goes out there, voted the 83rd best player in the NFL by his own peers of the top 100. By the way, Kyler Murray in the same poll, 39th in the NFL. And I know, I see the head shake. I do feel like there's a lot for Tannehill to prove.
Yeah, I think for some reason the players in the NFL are just enamored with Kyler Murray because he's sort of the new thing. But Kyler Murray hasn't, he's done some, but Ryan Tannehill's stats are much better. So let's get that out of the way. I feel really good with Tannehill. People can take their shots at him, and he's not this, he's not that. He's a good downfield thrower. We'll see him, I'm sure, taking some shots to A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. I think he'll be just fine.
I think the one thing that the fans that we struggle with is when it comes to the big game and Henry's not in there and he has to make the play, he hasn't made the play. The one game against Kansas City and against Baltimore, he had to become a passer because they were getting put in third and long, and he didn't make the big play. So I think if we can get past that hump, I think he'll be okay.
And I also think, too, Jared, that having a healthy Taylor Lewan on the left side, really helps Tannehill, helps his peace of mind. I think they'll do okay against the Arizona pass rush. I really do. I know they're going to load up probably, on the side of Questenberry, but I think Tannehill and the Titans will do okay there. Yep.
On the other side, we'll get Chris Sanders' keys to the game, plus we'll take a look at the sports books, what they're telling us, and we'll make our official week one picks. And we will do that coming up next. We are live again, Rock Bottom Brewery downtown across from Nissan Stadium, where, again, the Titans will open up with the Arizona Cardinals. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans and Cardinals live at Nissan Stadium coming up at noon on CBS. We're live from Rock Bottom Brewery, downtown Nashville, for the pregame show. Once again, Mark Howard, Chris Sanders with me. It should be noted, Jerome Boger will be today's referee.
Oh.
The one
Who
official.
Who loves to call penalties.
The one official that Floyd Reese actively said should be thrown out of the NFL. And when he said it, and he was never a headline guy, and when he said it, I thought he's trying to get Mike Florio or someone to write an article, you know, former NFL GM says they should get rid of Jerome Boger. And he said to me, it's not that I wanted them to write it, it's that I didn't care if they did. So Jerome Boger, who cost the Titans in week one 3 years ago by taking down a Derrick Henry 80-yard touchdown run against the Dolphins, Jerome Boger on the call today. Time now for Chris Sanders.
Yes,
keys
sir.
To the game. What are the keys for a Titans victory, Chris Sanders, outside of the obvious coin toss?
I just think, number one, on offense, they have to start fast. You have to get your playmakers involved early. A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and Henry. Get those guys in rhythm. Get those guys getting touches early and put pressure on the defense. And then our defense, what was the Achilles heels of the defense last year, was getting off on third down. If we can get off on third down and get the offensive ball, I think we can be successful. And then the last thing is we got to be sound on special teams. I know Chester Rogers is going to be the punt return, which he's going to make some plays. But the only thing that concerns me is the field goal kicking. Is we got a guy, we got Bagley there. I know he's 30 from 30 for 49 yards inside the 40. I think if we can do those three things in those three phases, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful.
I did think it was funny when TD said, well, I just saw him, John Robinson give him the fist bump, so I think John Robinson feels good about what he saw. I think in TD, I think that that's the prayer fist bump from John Robinson, mm-hmm. saying, Lord, please be with this kicker today as Michael Badgley goes out there for the Titans. Time now to take a look at the sports books. What does the latest action say? The FanDuel Sportsbook update. Again, the latest odds on today's game are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, and my official sportsbook app. Today, the Titans are favored -2.5. The number was 3. It's dropped down to 2.5. The Titans on the money line -138. The Cardinals are +118, and the over-under 53.5 points. Surprised by that?
That's a rut-row number, to be honest with you. 2.5 is not a good number.
Especially with the kicker.
Well, not just that, but it means that the Sharps really like Arizona. And I hate to say it, in a betting situation, I would take Arizona +3 or +3.5. Whoa. I just have a bad feeling about this game.
I just think that the concerns of the defense. I mean, everybody yeah. knows the firepower that the Tennessee Titans have is still question marks about the defense. You got Farley that has a back issue. You have Dupree who's coming off the knee injury. You have a secondary that's given up 36 touchdowns last year. So just like the bettors are thinking, oh, did the defense improve? And if the defense improved, I may take it back. But right now there's too many question marks.
Do you feel like in today's game, 53.5 for these two teams, that doesn't seem like – I mean, I think we're going to see some points scored today. So when I hear 53.5 or whatever is the number, that makes me a little nervous because we know the Titans are going to go score points.
Yes.
And I got to think Arizona's going to score points too with a Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray offense.
I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. There's going to be a lot of points scored, but I think it's going to come down to, you know, who has the least amount of turnovers. I mean, I know that's kind of coach talk,
sure.
cliches, but it's going to come down who makes the least amount of turnovers. Because if you look at both offenses are explosive. Both have good quarterbacks. Both have explosive receivers. Both have great running backs. Not great running backs the Tennessee Titans do, but the Arizona Cardinals are just solid. So it's going to be a lot of points scored. So it's going to come down to who executes, who has rhythm, and who has the least amount of turnovers.
I think it's going to be resilience. I think 53 points tells you that the Titans' defense – is going to have its hands full today. They're going to give up some plays, maybe give up some touchdowns. And, you know, you just got to, you know, once again, I hate to quote Butch Jones, but snap and clear and just move on, you know, to the next play, turn the page. And Tannehill and Murray in the fourth quarter could really end up being exciting.
How do you feel about these player props, Mark? Derrick Henry over under 99.5 yards today. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I like him to go over. That is a really high number, though.
So how about this? Remember how Chris was worried about the running game for Arizona? Chase Edmonds over under 37.5.
Yeah.
James Conner over under 27.5.
There you go.
I mean,
thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Can you bet the coin toss on here? I'm trying to see if
the Arizona Cardinals win the coin toss and they go down there and score quickly and they just blow us out, I'm going to blame it on you.
Oh, hey, you know what? If they lose the toss and they lose, I'll be glad to take it. That's a look at the sports books. Again, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook app. The latest odds on today's game are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook app. Time now for our final game picks. Who wins today and why? And our final game picks are presented by Social Furniture, brought to you every single week by Social Furniture, located at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social. I'm just going to tell a story here. A couple of years ago in 2019, we got off to a start keeping track of who got each game right, who got. At one point, I think Chris was 6-3, and I was, 5-4 or something like that. And Floyd was like a solid 0-9. Every game he picked wrong. So he decided to try to switch the mojo. He would pick against the Titans every week by a final score of 41-40. So I'm going to go first today, and I'm going to pick the Arizona Cardinals 41-40 to win
awesome.
Today. Because I remember I hated it, Mark, because I'd be like, hey, we're trying to pick the game here. Give your And he'd go, Texans 41-40, Panthers 41-40. So give me the Cardinals and a nod to the GM 41-40.
I'll take the Titans to win, Arizona to cover 30-28.
I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans in honor of Floyd 35-34 because of the 1 point.
To the 1 point?
Yeah, just the 1 point.
To the one. You should make it 36. You should make it 36-35. You know why?
Why?
Because 22 years ago today, the Tennessee Titans played the Cincinnati Bengals in the first ever game at Nissan Stadium.
I was there.
And won 36-35.
And that was the year we went
I was
what?
There, too. And so I think Chris was there.
I kind of. 36-35.
Were you in a stroller?
I had to stand up on the seat because everybody in front of me would stand up.
Oh, my
gosh. In order to, get a view of, what was going on, I had to stand up on the seat and kind of, look.
How many people around you told your parents, can you tell your kid to shut up?
Oh, my goodness. So you see, the thing was back then, I didn't really even know anything about football.
Yeah.
I went to one game at Vandy, and I told my dad, I'm not coming back to that. Call me when the new stadium opens. I went to the Bengals game. Then I went to the Browns game in week two. And then I was biggest Titans fan of all time after two games.
Let's go, baby.
That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. Again, we will be back for the pregame show. We'll be at the Corner Pub in Cool Springs starting at 1 o'clock with a special late kickoff next week as the Titans take on Seattle. Everybody enjoy the game on CBS. For Mark Howard, for Chris Sanders, it's been the pregame show live from Rock Bottom in downtown Nashville on ESPN 102.5 The Game.